Now, whenever we have a guest speaker here at our church, we really like to honour them and make sure that we're ready to receive the word that God has put on their heart. So would you please stand to your feet and let's give a massive New Hope welcome to Pastor Peter Kasivaru.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Good morning. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful time. What an amazing time to be in this beautiful country. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share, the opportunity to fellowship, the opportunity to worship together with my brothers and sisters here. Lord, speak to us and guide us, even as we go through the sharing of the message. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How are you? I am very excited to be here, and I can't thank God enough for being here. And I want to say thank you for hosting our children's choir last year. They had an amazing time here and in this beautiful country. The last time I was here, it was a little bit warmer. This time it has been cold, except this place is a little bit warmer than where we were in Melbourne. And so this morning when I was coming, I came with three layers on me and a fourth one. So I'm still warm, and I thank God for that. But the beautiful thing is that I have experienced warm hearts this morning. Thank you very much. And thank you for sending that wonderful couple, Helen and Sean. They were a blessing when they came over to Uganda to minister and to serve and to visit with our people. Thank you very much. And I think you're coming back again. You have to, of course. And we've just been talking with Pastor, and we've agreed that you're coming soon. Yes, and you're going to speak in one of those conferences that we have. My name is Peter Kasivaru, and I've traveled with my friends here that Pastor has already talked and introduced. I come from Uganda, as you've already experienced from the video, and I serve as a pastor of a church called Gaba Community Church, and also I lead a ministry called Africa Renewal Ministries. I've been in this location for 30 years. I first went to that community before I got married. I later on got married. And actually, I have four children, two adult children, and one teenager, and one who is about to become a teenager. But one of the things that I have to share is that I come from a country that, you know, when you think about it, I was trying to compare, and Mark was telling me that we are the size of the state of Victoria. That's what Mark told me. We are 43 million people in that place. So, and I understand that you are less than that. So you have a big country with very few people. My country has lots and lots of people. But it doesn't only have that, but it also has lots of challenges. You've seen very beautiful pictures there, but there's something we've not shown you. We've shown you what God has done through those people and through the ministry. But we have 2.4 million orphans in the country where I come from. Our country was devastated by HIV/AIDS. We thank God things are a lot better now, but things were very, very bad. We've suffered from lots of political issues, and that has caused lots of corruption and unemployment. And we feel that God has called us as the church and as a ministry to bring hope and to bring transformation to our country. And I want to say that we are seeing change. And this change is coming because of the believers who preach the gospel of the kingdom and what Jesus is doing in the lives of people. It is happening because of many people around the world who partner with various ministries like ours to do what we do. So I am very excited because when our children's choir was here, many of you supported us financially. Many of you chose to sponsor a child. You cannot imagine the hope you bring when you do that. Many of the young people that we started with We picked them, some of them from, you know, single parents, some of them were orphans. But now they bring hope because someone somewhere brought hope and brought a future to them. So I cannot thank you enough for the generosity of the people from the Western world. Thank you for loving our people. Amen? Thank you very much. And Pastor, this morning, I'm very excited, you know, listening to all the things that God is doing through your church, how you're reaching out to your community, even the community around you, but also through radio. I want to say this today, even as I share, I'm going to talk about the power of the gospel. And I'll share a few testimonies of what we've seen God doing in our country. And I believe that God has done it in your country, but I also believe that God wants to do it more, especially now when I hear that it's only 5% of your people that go to church on Sunday. That's very discouraging, but we need to change that story. Don't you believe so? Yes, we have to. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning again. We pray the Lord you will speak to us through the scriptures. We pray the Lord you will encourage us. We pray that your presence will be experienced even as we share your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a verse of scripture that I'm going to read for you. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Amen? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. God has decided that his gospel has the same supernatural power that he himself has. In other words, God has invested himself in his word to do what he has promised to do and what he himself is, because the gospel is his. You know, the word gospel, as you all know, is described from the original languages as evangel. Good news. It is the message of Jesus. This good news is summarized in Jesus' first sermon. I believe that many of you remember that first sermon found in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus Christ comes to the synagogue and shares, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what Jesus shared as he was introducing his ministry to the earth. So the gospel is God coming down to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring relief to those who are oppressed, to bring healing to those who are in trouble, and to set the captives free. You know, Paul wrote these words, and he wrote them with lots of conviction. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. "If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." He says he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he said he was a very zealous person, a persecutor of the church. But he says, when I found Jesus, when he found the gospel of Jesus, he says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted it loss." So when you find Jesus through his gospel, everything becomes useless because there is power in the name of Jesus. It is this gospel that made this man who was a persecutor to become a follower of Jesus and a preacher of this gospel. It is that gospel that has changed thousands and thousands of people around the world. And it's that gospel that brings me here, a man from more than 10,000 miles away, to talk to people like you. But it's very interesting. It's because of that gospel that I can speak a language that you understand. Do you know why? Because 130 years ago, missionaries from England came to my country. They found my people were in the bush. They could not read and write. Our language was not put in written. And they said, these people must understand the word of God. So they taught us how to read and write. They taught us a language that I can use right now. So I'm where I am because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are a few things that I want to mention today. But the first one is this. The gospel has the power to change you and me. When you have an encounter with Jesus, who actually is the gospel, you are actually changed. I have seen the power of the gospel impact many, many families, beginning with my very, very family. I was born in a family of 13 children. 13 children, with my mother having 6 of those children and the rest of the children born by different mothers. So we have one father and 6 mothers. That's the family that I come from. I come from a family where my father was an alcoholic. Whenever he came at the end of the month, he would come and stop somewhere and drink until he finishes the money. Then he comes back home. That's where I come from. I come from a place where our village was full of witchcraft. But then, as we are going along, my mother got to hear the message of the kingdom. We are going to church, but we had not had a conversion experience. So my mother got the message of the gospel explained to her. So I remember her coming back home and sharing with us and saying, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not just a religious person. Now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. We saw our mother changing. And as our mother changed, she started convincing us about change. But I didn't feel that that was my time to change. Then one day, a friend of mine from school shared that he had also accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, what? He said, yes. And then he introduced me to his brother, who actually shared the message of the gospel with him. And his brother was on fire for God. And I said, tell me what happened. How did you find Jesus? And this young man said he was riding a bicycle and he fell. It was a steep hill and he fell and he broke his leg into two. You know this place. It was broken. So when it was broken, he had to go to hospital and they put we call it a cast. What do you call it? You do the same? Okay, all right. I think it's the same language. All right. So he broke. So then 2 weeks into that journey, you know, when you break, it takes months to heal. They go to a prayer meeting. He's having these clutches, and as they're in that prayer meeting, the preacher was talking about the healing power of God. And these young boys, my friend and his brother, are in this prayer meeting, and they hear about the fact that God heals, and they even hear testimonies. So these friends of mine tell me that as they were walking back home, my friend, who was my schoolmate, felt inside his heart that God was telling him that God is healing his brother. So do you know what he did? He took the clutches from his brother, who is two weeks fresh, removes the clutches, and the brother just walks, and he says he doesn't know what happened, but the pain went away immediately. They turned around and ran back to the fellowship with their clutches. The thing was cut off. You know, the thing was removed. So when I get to meet them, it was just a few weeks after. They were excited because they said, if God can do this, he can actually change our hearts. So they say, that day, we said, if God can do that, why don't we say yes to Jesus? So these young people share the gospel with me and tell me what God had done to save them, but also to heal this young man. So that day I said, okay, Jesus also saves young people, but also he has the power to heal. So when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I actually believe it. Why? Because I believe it has the power to change us. But I've experienced in my community that God does not only change hearts, but also he actually heals and does miraculous things. So the gospel has the power to change us. It changes our conscience. It changes our way of looking at the world. It changes our hearts. What I found that when we accept Jesus, he has power by his spirit to come and dwell in us and actually starts taking away that desire for sinful behaviors. He has that ability. The gospel has the power to change. Can we say amen to God? Amen. What else does the gospel do? It does not only change me, but also changes the people around me. That's what I found. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I went back home and I told my cousin sister with whom I was staying. And I said, I have just accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and I feel new inside me. She really laughed. She said, Peter, I'm giving you 3 weeks. You are going to come back and be like us. Friends, it has been 38 years since I said yes to Jesus. He is powerful. But there is something very interesting because my sister also accepted Jesus Christ. And then I saw another brother of mine accepting Jesus Christ. Then another sister accepting Jesus. But this cousin sister of mine, she went on to be married. And she got married to a very, very wild guy. This guy was so rough. Used to beat her up. They used to quarrel. And many times the husband would call me and actually I choose. And I became a judge in a way. This is what your cousin sister is doing. This is what, and then my cousin sister would come. Then one time she came to my office. Now I'm a pastor, so many years later. And when she comes, she starts telling me all the bad things that her husband has been doing and all the crazy things that are going on in their family. And then I told her, her name is Margaret. I said, Margaret, do you remember the day I got saved? She said, yes, I remember. Do you remember what you told me? She said, yes, I remember. Do you know that you're now seated in my office and complaining about what is going on in you? She said, yes. I told her, that day when I accepted Jesus, he actually changed me. He changed me so much that since I got married, we are not fighting, We disagree, but we're not fighting like you're fighting. And then I asked, would you consider asking that Jesus that you saw changing my life to become the master and the Lord of your life? And I told Margaret, your husband may not change, but you will change. And when you change, actually you have peace even though your husband doesn't change. He said, Peter, do you think that will happen? I said, yes. I remember that day leading my cousin sister to the Lord Jesus Christ. She accepted Jesus. And today, she is a believer, and a number of her kids have also accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So, thank you very much. So the gospel does not only change me, but also the gospel also changes my family. He changes the people around me. But also he changes us, not for us only, but also changes our children and our children's children, because there's power in the gospel. That's why I love that scripture, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This same gospel, as it changes our family, it actually leads to what we call a godly legacy. A godly legacy. There's a man that I read about in church history. His name was called Jonathan Edwards. I think some of you have ever heard about him. He was a revivalist in the northeastern part of the United States. This man was a preacher who actually is known for preaching a message of, you know, a sinner in the hands of an angry God. An article was written about him. And that article was about the people that followed this man. But as they were writing that article, they actually compared it to a man who was actually a criminal. Let me just read this. It's a quote that I'm going to read, because I believe that it connects to the gospel bringing a godly legacy. And this is how the article goes. Leaving a godly legacy for your children should be the goal of all Christian parenting. Although the faith and godliness of your children is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit, God often uses the influence of parents to make a great impact on their children. And then this man goes on to, the writer goes on to talk about Jonathan Edwards, a Puritan preacher from the 1700s. His wife was called Sarah, and they had 11 children. At the turn of the 20th century, American educator and pastor decided to trace the descendants of Jonathan Edwards almost 150 years after his death. These are the findings. And I'm going to give you those findings. But as they were doing so, they also traced the life of a man called Max Jukes, who actually was a criminal. And this is what they found. First, of the legacy of the criminal and the legacy of the saint. Jukes' legacy was like this. They found 42 men in the New York prison system traced back to him. 42 in the prison system to the criminal. But to Jonathan Edwards, they found in his legacy one U.S. vice president, 3 U.S. senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 3 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries. But for Mr. Jukes, this is what they found. 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 convicts, 310 paupers, 400 were physically wrecked because of indulgent living. Can you compare? When we accept Jesus, the gospel changes our lives, but not only our lives, but the people who come after us. But then when we don't, unfortunately, the life can be like that. So friends, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel has power. That's why this man, Paul, wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So friends, I don't know who you who are here. If you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you better consider him, because he changes us and he changes our future. But there is something also that I want to mention about the power of the gospel. We've talked about the fact that it changes me. We've talked about the fact that that gospel also changes my family and my legacy. But also, the gospel realigns me to my destiny. You know, the Bible says that God has a big plan for each and every one of us. Actually, the Bible also says that before you were born, God knew you and he purposed you and he had a plan for your life. Most of us don't know that plan. And many times as you move and walk around in life, many times the devil wants to take you far away from the purposes of God for your life. But when you accept Jesus, Jesus actually reorganizes your life and he helps you to see where you're supposed to go. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible says this, that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in other words, as God was making you, there's something inside of you that he purposed. He gave you a voice, and he knew why he gave you a voice. Some of you, he gave you hands to use them. Some of us, he gave us hands, feet to use those. Whatever God put in you, he purposed something for you. But usually, before we get to know Jesus, it's very hard to be aligned in God's purpose. Now, many of you know this, that when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his aim was to go and persecute the church. Then he finds Jesus. And when he finds Jesus, what happens? He gets a message. And what does the message say? You are going to serve me among us, the Gentiles. This persecutor, this man who was off, what happens with him? He ends up not only being a preacher to us, the Gentiles, but he also writes several books that we are all celebrating, because he found Jesus through the gospel of Jesus and his life was realigned. Do you remember our friend Peter? I love Peter because I am one. Fishermen doing business and they find Jesus. And what happens? He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When we find Jesus, we find purpose in our life. Friend, when I was growing up, my dream was to become a medical doctor. Actually, I loved sciences. But along the way, I started getting messed up. And I realized that I'm not going to go there. Why? Because my life was becoming a mess. But then I get to know Jesus. He changes my life. And as he changes my life becomes better. But as it becomes better, I start realizing that actually I'm not called to become a medical doctor. I am actually called to become a message messenger. Yeah. Amen. And I remember going to my pastor and I said, I have this burning call. He said, you finish high school? And I did. And then after that, he said, okay, I have a Bible school that I know that you should go to. So I went to the Bible school. Then I come back and I say, Pastor, what do I do? He says, you come serve. And God calls me to this little community called Gaba. And we start with 13 people trying to share the gospel with them, helping these people. And little did I know that this tiny little church where God placed me, God will birth a ministry that is touching the rest of our country. And through that, many of the young people you see are being changed. Friends, when you find Jesus, you find a purpose for your life. I found it, and I know many of you found it, but if you haven't, the purpose of God is in your life. And finally, my friends, when you find Jesus, Jesus does not only change you or your family or get you a purpose, but also God changes your community. Amen? God changes your community. Jesus said something very powerful in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Friends, we went to this tiny little village full of witchcraft. All kinds of crazy things were going on. And this tiny little church was planted. We had a lot of persecution, especially from the Catholic Church, because they thought this little sect is coming to disturb us. Today, that little church has been a source of influence in our community. We started a little school, and that school became a big school. And many people have gone through that school. The other day I was asking one of our teachers, and I asked how many people have gone through our school in the last 15 or so years. He said 5,000 students have gone through our school. That primary school that we started gave birth to a secondary school. Today, we have lawyers, we have doctors, we have engineers, we have teachers, we have social workers who went through that school. Why? Because the church was planted, and that church became an influence in that community. And through that, lives have been transformed. That little church, when God placed us, we found a need. There was a big need in our community because there was no hospital. The nearest hospital was 8 miles away, and we started a tiny little clinic. Tiny little clinic. Friends, later on, that little clinic became a small medical center. Every day, I pass by and I say, I am glad that we came to this community, because through that community, we now have a little medical center, and hundreds of people have been saved and healed. One story that I want to end with was that there's a university next door to us. It's a very interesting university. It's a university belonging to a Muslim. So this university brings people from all over, including people from Somalia. So there's this woman who came to the medical center, young lady. She comes to our medical people and says, I want to commit abortion. Now, you know, have you seen Somalian people? They usually put on something on top of their head, and they usually put on long things, black things usually. So the nurses told this girl, this is a Christian hospital. We do not do abortions. She said, no, I want this pregnancy to go, because if they find out, they're going to kill me. Remember, she's a Muslim. I said, we cannot. She said, I don't even have money to actually take care of myself. They said, you know what? If you decide to keep that baby, we will give you free antenatal care. You know, they did that. And on the day that woman or that girl was ready to give birth, she came. And they helped her to give birth. As soon as she saw the baby, she said, you told me not to commit abortion. there's nowhere I'm going to take this baby. Nowhere. They're going to kill me. That's your baby. Me, I'm gone. The same day she gave birth, she left the hospital and went back to school. Remember, she's a university student. Now, people didn't know she was pregnant because she had that long thing. Our medical people took care of the baby. A few weeks ago, I saw this boy running around the church because one of the staff members decided to adopt the baby. He's now 3 years old. He, when you see him, you see a Somalian in a Christian church. He would be dead or the mother would be dead. But because of the gospel of the kingdom, we have an alive Somalian running around our church with a Christian name. May the good Lord bless you. May you know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to change, power to heal. But not only that, power to change a community and change a nation. God bless you.
Come on, let's give a big hand of encouragement. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's pray. We just have some